Understanding things pertaining to the church. Understanding things pertaining to the church. Tonight I'm going to be talking on defining the ministry of helps. Now I want to, I picked this topic tonight and which I'll be discussing for the number of years because or number of weeks to come, because I want people to understand the function of the church and how we're to operate in the church. Why is it that certain things go on in the church? And I want to be able to give you a very clear-cut picture of what goes on in church and why it goes on. What kind of anointing is behind certain things that that happen in church? Certain people don't realize that the helps ministry plays such a vital part to the fulfilling of a vision. So I want everybody to be able to understand some of the things that I'm going to be sharing tonight and for the next few weeks coming. So we're just going to expound tonight. You know, sometimes we get in the habit, as I said Sunday, we think that church is the way that we saw it coming up. Perhaps we've seen the preacher get up and, you know, he'll open up and we've seen people go to the altar and bow down and, you know, and all of that, and, you know, and put the ashes on their foreheads and things like that. And we really associate that with church, what is basically ritualistic. It has nothing to do with church. Now, when I talk about church, I'm not talking about Catholics, Baptists, Episcopalians, non-denominational, interdenominational, no denominational, or some denominational. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. There is only one church. Yeah. One church. It's not the Catholics. It's not the Church of God in Christ. It's not the Church of God. It's not the Church of God in holiness. It's not the true holiness Church of God. It's not any of those churches. It's one church. And that's the church that Jesus Christ birthed. And that's what he says over in Matthew, the 18th chapter, when he said to Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but upon this rock, and he used the word Petra, which has a female connotation, as the church. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice he didn't say, I will build the Baptist church or the Catholic church, or I'll build the Episcopalian church or the Church of God or the Church of God in Christ. Or, you know, there are so many out there, you can just go on and on. But he said, I will build my church. So who does the church belong to?
Jesus.
It don't belong to a man. It does not belong to a man. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is his church. And his church only. So let's start off and find out some of the things that God is saying that helps his church, and why certain things are going on. But believe me, it's going to be very interesting in the weeks to come and tonight, and some things that you're going to learn. You know, I've talked to many people and even pastors, and I talk about ministry of helps when I go out sometimes, and most of them say they've never heard of it. How many of you heard of the ministry of helps before you came to this church? Very few. Very, very few. There are things that we like to teach because we know it's essential to the fulfilling of a vision. And so we stay on that. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to your Bibles or in your little pamphlet or handout. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. It's always good to follow along in your Bible. Now, some of these scriptures are in the NIV, and the NIV is the New International Version, and some of it is the KJV, my brother King James. All right. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 28th verse, and it says, and God have set some in the church, some in the church. Who set it in the church?
God.
All right. So that's very clear. The pastor didn't do it. A bishop didn't do it. Apostles didn't do it. God did it. And God have set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. And let me quickly say what apostles are. Apostles are what we may consider initiators or starters, self-starters, people that start things and birth something and nurtures it. The pastor or the apostle is an overseer. He starts things off. He starts ministries. He organizes churches and things of that nature. And in this particular passage, that's exactly what he's talking about. And everybody doesn't have the call of an apostles. Then secondarily, prophets. These are men and women. Let me say that and clarify it so you won't think I'm a male chauvinist. These are men and women considered in the Bible that have a message from God to the people. They have a direct line with God. They are constantly in the mind of God. When they speak a word from the very mind or the heart of God. All right? So thirdly, teachers. Teachers have a profound ability to expound on the word and to expand the interpretation of it, to make it very clear, easy to understand, and easy to digest. Amen. Do you get anything like that here?
Yeah.
All right. Then it goes on to, after that, miracles. Miracles are defined as something that defies nature itself. That's considered a miracle. For me to not have a hand and have that hand grow back out is considered a miracle. All right? To have my hand injured and healed, that's a healing. That's not a miracle. That's not considered a biblical miracle. All right? Something that defies nature. Because we know if you cut a hand off, it doesn't naturally grow back. If you cut a foot off, it doesn't naturally grow back. And many of you know you can't talk to a storm and it'll just leave unless you're like Jesus and myself. We believe in miracles. Look at somebody and say, I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
Then the gifts of healings, and I touched on it a little bit. There are different, you'll notice he said healings, gifts of healings. There are various kinds of healings. And that would also be considered a physician. Most people don't like to put that in there, but that is considered one of the healing processes. All right? Then it goes to helps. Everybody say helps.
Helps.
This is the ability to assist, the ability to assist without, listen very carefully, without the knowledge of something being in it for you. All right? Governments, another divine operation or office of God. These are people that's designed to regulate, to come up with policies, to govern some church activity. Most people are against that, but God is a very meticulous and organized God. Matter of fact, God has a council himself. If you ever read the book of Job, you'll see God called a council of the sons of God. And Satan showed up. So God holds regular meetings. God is organized. He's very structured. So don't ever think that God is the kind of God that just comes and is never planned. God plans everything. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
We love to say it in some of our Pentecostal churches. We just go, let God just do whatever he wants. Yes, he'll do whatever he wants when we plan it. Are you listening to me? The steps of a good man are ordered. That means that God designs certain things. And many times we're led around like a bull with a ring in his nose. And God's just leading us around. Because as many that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the... So we're doing things that God is orchestrating and organizing, and he's just put it in our hearts. So it's so good to know that God is a very meticulous and organized God, and because God is, we should be too. That was the whole problem with the church at Corinth. They had this spirit, all of this power, and didn't know what in the world to do with it. I said years and years ago, and I'm going to share it with you. Some of you never heard it, so I'm going to say it for the first time for some of you. With just the word, you dry up. Because it becomes a book, perhaps to only encourage you when you're down. And so many people use it for that reason only. You've got prisoners that'll go and read the book of Psalms. And mess with their brother the very next day. But with just the word, you dry up. It becomes a book of legalistic writings. The letter killeth. The spirit gives it life. Are you listening?
All right.
With just the spirit, you blow up. Because you've got all this power and don't have the manual to know how to regulate and control the very degrees of the Holy Spirit. You don't know what to do. And that was the problem with the Corinthian church. They had all this power. They were speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, seeing people recover. Then they started to exploit the gifts. And saying, I'm better than you, and I'm better than you, because I can do this, and I can do that. God's using me this way. He's not using you this way. Oh, you know how people are. So with just the spirit, you blow up. With the combination of the two, with the manual to use the power, with just the word, you what?
Giant.
With just the spirit, you?
Blow up.
And with the combination of the two, you grow up. You get it now. All right. So it's important to always have the manual. So many people say, well, you know, it's not always necessary to get in the word. You need to know how to control this power and anointing you have. So many of us, we have the anointing and we really don't know what to do with it. How many of you have ever been there? You feel the presence of God and you don't know what to do. The Lord may lead you to lay hands on somebody in the middle of the streets. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to regulate this power and how to control certain things. So the anointing is powerful. And the faith that we have governs the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on to say also diversities of tongues, the ability to speak in different languages. Amen. The ministries that we call the fivefold offices are to help the church grow. However, all of the jobs designated by the Lord must be done if God's goal for his family is to be reached. If you are born again, you are part of God's family. And as part of the family of God, have you ever wondered what your place might be in the family? Do you have a desire to be a part of God's mighty move in the last days? How many of you have a great desire to be a part of the great move that God's going to do through this ministry?
Amen.
Do you have this anticipation? You just, oh man, God, I can just sense this is coming like a whirlwind. It's coming fast and it's coming quick. Take notice to the two things concerning the verse above. The gift is listed among supernatural gifts. This is a supernatural gift. The ministry of helps or the ability to help or assist is a supernatural gift. All of these gifts are supernatural. Then it's given to the church like a concrete pillar to hold things up. Now let's go to who do you help. You help the one God has set in the church to oversee it. Who might that be? All right, the word pastor means overseer. It can also carry over into the word bishop, and it simply means the same as an overseer, a shepherd. Now that's a tremendous responsibility. A lot of people would like to think that this is the easiest job on the face of the earth. Sometimes, believe me, I would love to change spots with you. You just don't know. You just don't know. I used to honestly think years ago, how in the world do my pastor come up with sermons every time we come together? How do you think of sermons every time? You know, you think of stuff like that unless you're a pastor and you have the heart of a pastor or an overseer, you don't really have that concern. But those are the two things that we need to take notice to and understand that, first of all, God wants us to help those that he sent, put in the church to oversee it. Helps ministries act like fingers on a hand. And I'm sure all of us right now have hands. If you don't, we'll believe God that you'll get one. And I'm serious. I'm going into the enemy's camp. We're believing God for miracles. You don't have any teeth? Let's believe God for you to grow some. Hello, somebody. Move with me. I'm ready to go. Move with me. Amen. But it acts like fingers on a hand in assisting pastors. The Lord has given your pastor a vision for his church. And he has given you to your pastor to help bring that vision to pass. And without the help's ministry, things will not get done. Just for an example, give me something that someone else do to keep things flowing smoothly. Joanne.
The ushers.
The ushers. Give me something else to keep things flowing smoothly. Brother.
The guy in the sound room.
The sound room. Somebody else raise their hand. What else, Charles?
Praise and worship team.
Anybody else have a hand up? What is it, Tish? Excuse me? The ministers. What else? What do you have over there, sister? Can I get one amen over there? Huh? Administrator. What else? Do you have anything else, brother? Musicians. My God, help our musicians. Anything else? Sunday school teachers. What else?
Choir.
Choir. What else?
Nursery.
Prayer intercessors.
Secretary. Intercessors. So you get the idea. All of it is part of the ministry of heaven. What else, brother?
Deacons.
And what are you doing today?
Security.
Security. He's roaming in the parking lot to make sure your cars don't get stolen.
Yes.
You see, these are the ministry of health, and there are many, many, many more. That's an anointed position. Most people don't see it like that. But God places greater anointing on these offices. That even says that you put much more efforts or dedication or appreciation to that thing that you consider the least among them. You know, God, what I'm doing is easy. I'm preaching right now, but, you know, walking out in the cold and don't have a walkie-talkie or nothing to communicate with anybody in the building. So if somebody's jacking him up out there, we'll just hear about it when he come in all beat up. And we'll say, brother, let's go out and get him. But see, that's important. That's the ministry of helps have to operate. Who is the ministry of helps? Every single person that's in the body of Christ that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's only one light and one darkness. You're never called out of darkness into another kind of light. You're called out of darkness into one light. That light is Jesus Christ. You'll fall once you come out of darkness. Out of Satan's camp, you go into one light. That's considered the ecclesia, the church, the called out people. And believers are considered called out people.
Amen.
Are you called out?
Yes.
That means you're called out of darkness into his light.
Amen.
You're called out to be different from those that are operating in darkness. That's why people like going to nightclubs and things and have the lights low. Their deeds are dark. They want to do it in the dark. Isn't that so true? You go to a club, people will tell you, turn off the light. You turn on the lights, it's like they'll be jamming. Hey, turn off the light, man. They don't want anybody to see them in the corner kissing that girl or kissing that guy or whatever it may be. You understand? So we've been called out of darkness into a ecclesia, a called out people, a gathering. And that's why it is so essential for us to gather together.
Yeah.
It is so essential for us to come together. People don't realize how essential it is, but it's very, very essential. Glory to God. So the Lord has given your pastor a vision, and the helps ministry helps bring about the vision. And without the helps ministry, things just won't get done. A pastor without those set to help him would be like a hand without fingers. So true. Now let's look at Numbers and see Moses' problem. We're going to see Moses had a tremendous problem. And, you know, if it's one thing I want to clarify to people to understand... That's Numbers, the 11th chapter, and this is out of the NIV, so if you want to read it out of the King James and you have that version, you can use that. But most people see the pastor as the person that they're working for. That is not the case. You don't work for me. I'm in the same position you're in. You don't work for me. I'm just sent to oversee it. I have a different office. And overseeing means overseeing you. But you don't. I don't get you to heaven and I don't put you in hell. I teach you. That's my job, to train you. I can't shove anything down your throat. I correct some things. I correct you. I discipline you in the word and I make you disciples. Now, if you can't take that, maybe you need to go to a church where somebody's easy on you. Amen? But here, my job is to do a number of things. So you have a certain job. And you know, we've got organization, and like we pray from 7 to 7:10 or try to get it over before 7:15. And, you know, we've got like Williams, Brother Williams, I'm praying. If it's 7:10, he comes in, and he stands, like today, just stood right in front of me till I opened my eyes. Soon as I open my, I'm in the spirit, you know, I'm in the ghetto, rabaha. Lord, move in this place. And I open my eyes and brother. Praise the Lord, brother. I got it. And I close right out. See, people think, well, I don't have to obey nobody. No, that's not true. If we set up some rules, let's follow the rules. Now, there are some exceptions to the rules, but you never have enough Holy Ghost to be disobedient. Amen. Are you listening to me? We are all supposed to support one another. All support one another. If I would always look at it that, hey, I'm better than you, I'm a preacher. You know, one preacher told this fella, you know, they're up in this other place, and I don't care to tell you where, but the brother called him, he said, now, Minister so-and-so on, called a minister, like you may say Minister Mike or Pastor Mike or Minister Gary or, you know. He said, I'm Minister Sparkman. Not you, but that's what the fellow, use my last name. Too personal to use my first name. We are workers together. Now, you respect the office. Are you listening to me? And sometimes people are hung up on the title. That's why I don't put emphasis on titles. I just don't do it because folks like, I'm Bishop this. You ask them, oh, what are you doing in the church? Haven't you seen me? I'm the minister. The minister that sits behind everybody. That's what you are. All right, Numbers the 11th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. I'm reading it out of the NIV, okay? It says, Moses heard the people of every family wailing, crying, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. Now, why did God get angry? Did God get angry at the people or at Moses? Yeah, he got angry at Moses. Moses was the leader. You see, let me tell you something. You want to lead? Accept responsibility. Accept responsibility. You know, if it's one thing that I learned while I was in the service, as an NCO, whatever my guy did under me that I was to supervise, if he messed up, it was me messing up. I couldn't go to the supervisor or to the first sergeant or to the CEO and say, well, he did it. I can't make him stop doing that. No, that would show that you're not taking responsibility. You may say, well, no, that doesn't show I'm not taking, because I can't govern his actions. As a leader, there are certain things you can do. If he don't act up and fly right, boot him out. One less trouble, one less egg to fry, one less bell to answer. Amen? And when he flies right, he respects the position you're in. He's saying, okay, I'm ready. But as a leader, you accept responsibilities. There's no two ways about it. You have to accept responsibility. So when it comes to God, I can't say like I used to say to God. I used to say, God, these people aren't doing anything. God rebuked me and said, well, what are you doing? Amen. You can't make them do anything until you teach them what to do. Amen. You know, preachers and pastors are crying all over the city, saying, how come these folk don't witness and bring anybody to church and all that other stuff? Teach them. Show them how to do it. Drill it in them. Are you listening to me? So as a leader, we know that we have certain responsibilities. So God was angry. Moses was troubled. God was angry. The 11th verse says this. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Notice he said, why have you, God? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? You're the leader. You're the leader. You see, Moses had a problem with organization. I mean, every leader is not just so profoundly together and organized. Now, don't think that they are. Just because Clinton's up in the White House, believe me, he's not doing much of anything. That cabinet is doing most of the messing up. You know, and he's just like a puppet on the string saying, oh, okay, what am I signing? Oh, it doesn't matter. Signing policies, signing his life away, signing our rights away. Hello. But Moses had a problem with organization, really, honestly. Even though he was a very educated man, educated in the finest school, and tutored by the best tutors of philosophy and all of those great teachers that were in that day in Egypt. Very educated, but he didn't know how to organize. Don't you sometimes feel that some of these officers educated but don't know how to do things? Amen. Look again. Gary, we know you was, we're not talking about you, brother. You was an organized officer, you know. Glory to God. But you, and you find yourself having to fill your position. Help that officer. You're there to help him so he won't look as bad. If he looks bad, you look bad. All right? So he said, hey, this is a burden on me. The 12th verse says, did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? You made the promise, you do it. Like many of us today, God, these people are sick. Why don't you go to the hospital? That's why we pray the prayer. Father, go to the hospitals. Touch them, Lord. Heal their bodies. Go on the streets, Lord, and begin to minister to the people that are on the streets without homes. We're missing the point. That's not how it works. Are you listening to me? Lord, many of us are praying the prayer, Lord, I'm just going to believe you. I'm going to sit down here. I ain't going out. Somebody's going to come in, and then I'll witness to them, and I'll know it's you. Anybody in here like that? Nobody like that? Folks, just send them, Lord. Send them to me. God said, you go. You go to the highways and hedges and compel men. You don't say, God, send them in, Lord, so I can talk to them one by one. No, it don't work like that because they don't naturally come in. You may have somebody that'll cross your path. God is sending across your path, but you've got to take some kind of initiative to stop them, to share the word with them. You are so vital to the kingdom of God. That's why God sent some in the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and then the various offices to help them to train the people in the ministry. Now let's go on so I can get through with Moses real fast. The 13th verse says, where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. Man, what a poor leader. What a poor leader. Literally, look at it that way. God held him responsible. You're the leader. You got to look at another thing. When they was at the Red Sea, God said, "Why are you crying, Moses? Stretch your rod out and speak to the sea."
Yes.
He didn't say, "Ask me to open the sea." He said, "You, I gave you that rod for a reason."
Yeah.
To Moses, perhaps it was a rod as long as it looked like a rod. But it was the anointing that he was carrying around all the time and didn't even know it. Just like you, you're carrying the anointing and don't even know it. You carrying all this power around in you and don't even know how to use it. You're letting people push you around, just talk any way they want to talk to you. Boy, you don't know who you are. Hello, somebody. Moses had a tremendous problem. He was a good leader. I mean, God developed him. But don't forget, he had a problem with anger. A whole lot of things. But he was a good leader.
Yes.
He had a heart after God. He loved the Lord. And he did love God's people. But sometimes people don't realize they make it hard on the leader. The people were making it hard for Moses. Moses just couldn't handle the pressure. You know, but thank God Moses didn't run. He didn't run. So it says in the 14th verse, "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." It's always too heavy for me. It is never just the pastor's responsibility. Never. The 15th verse says, "If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." I don't want the people to see that I'm failing, Lord. Let them see that you're just as human as they are. Most folk, if you fall and mess up, they won't forgive you. Yes, that's right. You just got to go on. Don't worry about anything. If God be for you, he's more than those folk against you. Don't worry about looking bad. That's the whole thing about us serving God. It may take sometimes to be humiliated. Christ was humiliated. He allowed the very man that he created, the very man that he made to beat him, to pluck his beard, to put a spear in his side, the very man that he made, he was humiliated by them. But that's all right, because I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, day, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As Catherine Coleman would say it, I don't know if many of you know about her, but she would say, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That woman was so profound, so... Any of you ever know about Catherine? Powerful! Man. Bishop Mason, powerful man of God. Sometimes you stop and you see, well, where did we get all these different methods of preaching? You know, Bishop Mason, the founder of the Church of God in Christ, he never... Ah, Lord, he never did any of those things. He taught. And it was so profound, man. It was so powerful, so awesome. I mean, literally, I mean, I just fell to my knees after hearing this man preach a word. And he was saying something as simple as quoting the verse. I was like, God, this man is powerful. That was an old 78 record. So you know it's old. The 16th verse says, "The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of the Israel's elders, who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting. All right? Another show of organization. That they may stand there with you. The 17th verse. Boy, it's so good to hear those pages turn. The 17th verse, I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit, I will take of the Spirit, I will take of the Spirit. Underline that in your Bible or in your handout if you want to. I will take of the Spirit that is on who? On Moses. I'm going to take that Spirit. I'm not going to take some of that Spirit. I'm not going to take percentages of that Spirit because there's only one Spirit. You don't take portions of that Spirit. You take all of that Spirit. So God said, I'm going to take that Spirit, that anointing on you to lead, and put it on those 70 people. Are you listening? You see? Even God says this for those that are in the ministry of health. I'm going to take that anointing off of the pastor and put it on those that have the ability that I've called to help. And that's everybody in the body of Christ. I'm going to put that anointing that is on the pastor, I'm going to put it on you. And that's why Paul was able to impart gifts unto men. Understand that. There's a certain responsibility that comes, and therefore the anointing is greater. That's why if you give a prophet a glass of water in the name of the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. He never said you'll just get a pastor's reward or any. It's an anointing that flows with these offices. So the ministry of health has an anointing. Think, don't ever think that it's easy. When you depend on the Lord, that's when it becomes easy. It becomes joyous, man. Are you listening? When these people are leading praise and worship, if they're doing it under the anointing, they're not even concerned about how your face looks. They're not even shaken by it. They're leading those that are willing to follow into praise and into worship. Are you listening? Are you getting anything so far? All right. So it says, I will take of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you do what? Carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Now, the definition of helps literally is one who gives assistance. What's the definition of helps? If someone in the church, someone in the church needs help, and you can meet that need, do it. That will keep your pastor from having to do it. Hello, somebody. The 70 elders were given the supernatural ability, just like Moses had, to share the load of caring for God's people. Now understand this. Because people don't understand, they always say, well, I want the pastor. I want to talk to the pastor. What makes you think I can help you anyway? You ever thought about it? Just because a leader is a leader, what makes you think he can help you? Now, if that leader is a good leader, he has others in the ministry and he's been teaching and training them within the word, those people have the same anointing to care for you. Most of the time when people have talked with someone in the audience and they may come to me, I would tell them what somebody else already said to them. Amen. How many of you know that that happens? And, you know, it's like, well, Pastor, I mean, that's what, you know, Minister Gary said. Well, why are you coming to me? The same anointing that's on me is on you all. Say the anointing is on me. Glory to God. You see, the devil loves to keep me so busy that I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for studying. I don't have time for anything. All I have time for is to hear. And this is the problem with Moses. Moses was just having one person come in after the next, listening to their problems. And that's why he became trouble. Anxiety sets in. I am still human. I'm not supernatural. I walk in the supernatural, but I'm human. This body can take so much. This brain can only hold so much. Don't think that it's difficult sometimes when you've talked and shared with someone and you know it seems like they're having a hard time believing. It's hard to go to bed without that concern on your heart. People think you just don't care. No, I'm trying to pray for you and get it out of my mind. But it's difficult sometimes. You know, people think, you know, because you're the pastor, you know, hey, in the church is growing and things are happening. I need help. The man with the largest church in the world, 750,000 active members, not pew sitters. The church, his members are so active, they come on shifts. Literally, they have to come on shifts. The sanctuary seats about 25,000. They have overflow rooms of 15,000 and 5,000, you know, so people can sit in there and watch it by closed circuit television. When he got up to 2,000, he had a nervous breakdown. Isn't it like God, that God said, now what are you doing in the hospital? You're the leader and you're in the hospital. Nervous breakdown, literally, the man had a nervous breakdown. Just too much, I mean, you just can't handle it. One pastor can actively perhaps pastor 100 to 150 people, that's it. He's got to have help. Are you listening? He's got to have help. You know, people always say, you know, sometimes, hey, you know, pastor never been over my house, or I've never been over the pastor's house. Hey, look how many of it is of you, and look how many it is of me. It's just one of me. I mean, God, give me a break. I want to, you know, have fun with my wife sometimes, too. Isn't that beautiful? I want to play between the sheets. It's all legal. We're married. I have the lost ring to prove it. We like playing in the house. I like playing house with my wife and doctor, and she's the nurse. All right. Boy, 94 is going to be a powerful year, isn't it? Let me quickly get through this because we've got to get ready to go. Ephesians, why do you help? Why do you help? Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Let's talk about the order real fast. Let me see you give the order. If I would call you out, can you give this order by heart? Would you, if you've been studying your word, have I been teaching this over the years?
Yes.
Sometimes it bewilders me when I taught something, somebody comes in, teaches the same thing, and you act like you never heard it. You know, when we had Pastor Ellis here and he taught on In the Between Time, I had just got through with a series on the three P's. Hello. And folks like, boy, I never heard it that way. I just got through teaching. A prophet is without honor in his own country. Isn't that true? Well, man, I lay hands on you, you just, you know, fall a little bit. They come in, lay hands on But that's all right. It don't hurt me. It don't hurt my feelings as long as you're getting blessed. But sometimes it does sort of get under my skin when folks be like, man, he was so anointed. Oh, man, those words that he was, and I'm like listening to, yes, he was. He's really anointed. Yes, yes, he is. Did you like my sermon? I had Sean one day tell me, he said, man, I heard this brother, Miles Monroe, man, I had never heard that. It was a powerful. I said, Sean, I've been talking about that for years, man. How Jesus went to the grave and came up, you know. Give him a tape, man. Give him a tape. Sean, like, yeah, but Pastor, this man was, powerful. Awesome. He gave some apostles. So all of these are for a reason. It's okay. It don't hurt me none, you know. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I do like David did. What did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. I ain't looking for your pat on the back. I got to keep on going. Somebody say, keep on keeping on.
Keep on, keep on.
Say, go, Pastor.
Go, Pastor.
Say, go, Pastor.
Go, Pastor.
Go, Pastor. Go. Oh, there it is. Ephesians 4 and 11, and let's go to the 12th verse. To prepare, all right, come on. To prepare, this is the fivefold ministry. This is what they're for. To prepare God's people for works of service or for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up or edified. All right? You can't properly do your job without me. I can't do my job without you. Hello? You understand it? You can't do your job without me. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach if they're not sent? In other words, how can they have the anointing to hear from God on what to preach if they're not sent? There are a lot of people that are out there proclaiming that they're sent, but they're not sent. There is no anointing. There's no real understanding in there. But God, when he sends you, he anoints you and he appoints you. And he appointed me in this position, in this place today. Just like he anointed and appointed you into this place to help me, and I'm to help you. I'm to help you fulfill the vision that God gave me. Now, I said this, I heard a preacher say this years ago, and it never rubbed me the wrong way because I understood authority. Some people can't handle certain things. But the preacher said, I dream the dreams, you pay the bills. It was like a hush, like right now. But wait, you dream. And whatever you say, we got to pay? Yeah, that's it. That's how it works. The man is given the vision, the pastor. He dreams the dreams. Now just think, if everybody in here dreamed they dream. Folks will be coming, no, Pastor, I don't see it that way. I see we ought to go for 500,000 people by the end of 94. You say, well, brother, the Lord spoke to my heart. Brother, yeah, but that's okay because I had a dream too. I saw it this way. You see, if your vision don't coincide with the pastor's vision, somebody's not necessary. I know it's not me. I'm in the right place. And when you can hear God before God speaks to me, boy, you must be way ahead of me. Because I, you know, folk like to tell you, oh, I heard the sermon before you preached it. I heard every word. I saw it in the spirit. Come on. Okay, all right. Why didn't you preach it? But he gave us to you to help you, to teach you, to do what? To do what? To do the works of the ministry. What's some of the works of the ministry? Give me one, Scott.
Cleaning.
That's cleaning, works of the ministry. Give me one, Renard. Yeah, but give me a job. Give me a specific job. Usher, okay. Just, you getting the idea now? I'm supposed to train you to do the work of the ministry and to go out and to share the word. So when somebody comes and says, I want to talk to the pastor, things are really rough. They don't have to get to me. You can stop them. Tell me what's going on. Now don't get this nosy thing, you know, trying to get into people's affairs. That's when you turn people off and they become disenchanted with the church. They start talking about the pastor. I'm the first one folk talk about, always. Pastor this, pastor that, he don't do this, he don't care, he don't even preach, the anointing's not even on him. I'm going to some other church. I'm the first one. If you do your job right, it makes me look good. Because when they come to me, perhaps after service, or they may see me, yeah, I talk with, what's that brother's name? Brother Eric. And man, he just shared, you know, he just shared the word with me. He didn't know my problem, but he just shared the word, and praise God, I don't have to come to you or talk to anybody else. I got my answer from the brother. So I'm able to stay in the word instead of devote all the time to counseling. Isn't that beautiful? All right. 12. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Same verse. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the stature of a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. No longer be infants tossed to and back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. What do you mean, Brother Pastor? You're not thrown and tossed to and fro. Somebody come up and say, oh, you ought to come. Ooh, ooh, our church. Ooh, girl, folk just shot all day in that church. Ooh, come over to this church. Well, I like where I am. You know, he teaches. Teaching? Come to our church. I mean, boy, they be. Oh, you'll feel the anointing as soon as you go in. Or somebody come up to you. Brother man, we believe Christ was a prophet, brother. But we got to stand for our people. And you're not swayed by that. You're not an infant. Hello. Somebody may come up to you. Well, you know, I heard some about that pastor, you know, that church. That's why I'm not going to that church. I mean, I heard. I don't know how true it is. But, you know, I heard, you know, I'm not going to say. But they've already, you know, got you going there. I ain't going to say nothing, but, you know, I heard this. You ever heard folk do you that way? I don't want to be involved in breaking up nothing. Just letting you know, I just heard this. Why didn't you just keep it to yourself? Some folks need to know. Well, we heard some stuff about you too. We heard you go from church to church and never give anything in the offering and talk about everybody. That's why you try to find out about people when they come to the church, because they may have been a hellraiser at that other church they left from. And they'll come over here, hellraising too. Hello. All right. Instead, 15, speaking the truth in love, that's when you're mature. You're able to tell the truth. You're able to tell them, I love you enough to tell you the truth. That's when you're starting to mature, you're growing in the Lord. Amen. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. And if you do your part, you will feel a part. Amen. Paul made it clear in his letter to the church at Ephesus that the ministry gifts were put in the body of Christ for one main purpose, to perfect or mature the saints. People who are maturing, growing up in Christ, will exhibit two qualities. One, they will build up and add to the welfare of God's family, the church. Two, they will learn to minister to help or serve others. Now, given the opportunity, through your prayers and support, God will enable your pastor or pastors to equip and perfect you with everything you need to function supernaturally in the ministry of helps. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Give the Lord a praise offering. Take this home and study it. Next week you'll hear some more on it. We're going to talk about why do you give offerings? Why do you give tithes? Why is it that the pastor or minister shouldn't work? have another job? Why, you see, we're going to just correct a whole lot of things and teach you what the Bible says. Why should we pray? How significant and how important is my prayer to the survival or the furtherance of my church? You see, now you can always tell when people aren't fully with you because they'll say, boy, your church is growing. When they say my church is growing, they've then at that time taken the responsibility that this is now my church. I've joined here. I'm a part of it. I'm giving all my heart to it. My resources are going, coming here, because where your heart is where your treasures are. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Glory to God. And sometimes people come from other ministries and they come in with the ideal that they're going to tie to their other church. They come in with that idea, we're going to tie to the church that we came from. This is my home church over here, so we're going to tithe over there, and that church is over in Timbuktu. But it's a good church, powerful church, but we tithe over there and we give offerings over here at this church. That's not how it works. We're going to teach you some things in the coming weeks that will absolutely bless you. And when people come, when you talk to people or fellowship with new members coming in, and the subject may come up, you can say, well, you know, this is what the Word says. And if they just go against the Word, that's on them, not on you.
Amen.
But see, that's where you come in. We have a goal of 365. If every person in here brought a person every week, and we endeavor to share the gospel and get them born again, you know how fast we'll multiply? 365 will be in 1 month. But you got to do your part. You have to do your part. It don't happen by us just praying and saying, okay, God, you know, come on and send the people. No. Faith without works is?
Dead.
That simply means faith without corresponding actions. It is dead. It is of no avail. Let's get ready to give. You know why we're giving tonight?